Amen. At this time, we want to turn the order of service to prayer, and we do have a prayer request tonight. Brother Don Applegate, he's been in the hospital all day today. He went in last night. They thought he had a massive heart attack, and he's been through a lot of testing all last night and all day today. And so we want to keep him in prayer. I believe they're going to let him go home tonight, so I don't think they found anything at this time, at least from what I've heard. At this time, they haven't, and we're going to go visit them shortly after service just to see how things are coming along. But I don't know what the story is. I had last Friday night, I had the same thing where I went into the hospital for about 4 or 5 hours of tests and everything else. I had pains down my side, in my arm. Everything was there as far as the signs, but fortunately that we have a God who's invisible, and we don't go by signs, we go by the Word. And so I didn't have anything wrong, I guess, but it does throw a scare into you because you get to that age when those things begin to happen. And so just keep everybody in prayer. We're under a lot of stress, even though we don't know it sometimes. And we are in an age that's 7 times more wicked than any other age. So 7 times hotter, Brother Branham said. And so we want to be praying for Brother Don tonight. Be praying for Brother Vail. You know, if there's a lot of stress on any of us, just think of what is on him at 86 years old, and he has a lot of weight to bear. A lot of people that are counting on his ministry to help them in many ways. And not that we should be focused on a man, we're not, but there's a word that Paul said, you know, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. So it is in the vessel. The vessel's a carrier of it. And therefore, there's a lot of burden on that vessel to manifest it as pure as we have an ability to manifest it. And so we want to remember Brother Vail at this time. His wife also, the long years of effort that she has poured herself out. And Paul said, I pour myself out like a drink offering and come to the place where we just empty out and there's nothing left to empty. And that's the way that she's in. She has no energy. We need to pray that the energio, the actual energy of the Holy Spirit, would take a hold of her and revitalize her, actually re-quicken and just make alive. And we have a promise in this hour that there would be a body change by the renewing of the mind. And I believe she's part of that election. Her mind has been renewed, and therefore she's waiting on a promise, which we're all waiting for. But we want to certainly keep her in prayer as well. So at this time, Brother Duane, if you would take these requests before the Lord. Amen. We turn to 138 in the Behold Song Book. Teach me thy way, O Lord.
Teach Teach me thy way, O Lord, and I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. Thy way, O Lord. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. Teach me thy way, O Lord.
Amen. Let's all stand to our feet now and we'll sing the angel of the Lord's favorite song, Only Believe.
Only believe, only believe, all things are possible, only believe, only believe. Only believe. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. Let's remain standing and we'll open our Bibles to Romans chapter 1 and verse 17. And I just have a short message tonight, but it's something that's been on my heart. I had a conversation with Brother Vail on this very subject. And we'll read from verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. What is righteousness? It's right wiseness. So let's read it this way. For therein is the right wiseness of God revealed from faith, revelation to revelation. As it is written, the just shall live by revelation. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unright wiseness of men who hold down, who suppress the truth in an unright wise manner. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. The gracious Father, we realize that men wicked in their machinations would use an unright wise thinking, a wrong thinking to hold down the truth. And yet you said the just shall live by revelation. And so, Lord, we are looking at this thought of righteousness tonight. We realize our righteousness is as filthy rags. We have none. And yet, Lord, we realize that if our righteousness is by faith, then it's not our righteousness, but it's the righteousness of your Son. And your righteousness, Lord, your right wiseness, your right thinking. In order for us to be righteous, we've got to be right. And so, Lord, we ask that you would make us right. For you said if we be any otherwise minded, you would reveal it to us. And so, Lord, we commit ourselves, Lord, to your message, to your shout, getting ready to meet you and to participate in and to lay ourselves open to the voice. And so, Lord, we commit what the shout has come, knowing it has come, knowing it's been vindicated. We commit ourselves to that message, for we ask it in Jesus' name, thy beloved Son. Amen. And you may be seated. So we open ourselves up and we lay ourselves before the mercy of God, knowing that He said that our transformation comes by the renewing of the mind. Therefore, there has to be a renewing of the mind in order for us to get the right body that we were meant to have. Now, Paul says here in verse 17, "For therein is the right wiseness of God. It's revealed from revelation to revelation. As it is written, the just shall live by revelation." We've got to live by revelation. Our righteousness comes no other way but by revelation. If you turn with me to Romans chapter 3 and verse 20 through 23, we'll read, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin." Now, let's change that word law. Here's a 20th century word. Let's use the word morals, morality. And let's look at the word law in the sense that it is deeds and rules. Then let's read it this way. "Therefore, by the deeds of the rule book, therefore by the deeds of the rules, the morals, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the rule book, by the rules, by the law is the knowledge of sin." You see, the rules, the morals, that only tells you, that only lays out a pattern. It only lets you know that there's sin. But that in itself doesn't do anything for you. You see? Now, "But now the righteousness of God, the right wiseness of God, the righteousness of God without the rule book, without the rules, without the deeds, is manifested, being witnessed by the rule book and the prophets, by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by revelation, by faith, of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." John said, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. You're not deceiving anybody else. You're only deceiving your own self. See? And the fact is that we're looking at the difference between righteousness and unrighteousness. And in fact, we've got probably, I'd say, 90-some percent, possibly higher, in the message. And probably 99-point-whatever in all Christendom. And as far as the world goes, it's even higher than that, 99.99999. That look at their righteousness. They look at their position, their status, and their state. And they look at their status with God, and their state with God, and they look upon themselves as to what I've done. "And then shall he say unto him," him who? The guy that says, "Lord, Lord, haven't I done this in your name and done that in your name?" And he says, "Depart from me, I never knew you. It's not what you did." Or as the scripture says, it's what they left undone. So it's not what you do. It's the morals, the law. It has nothing to do with your state or your status. Now, "But now the righteousness of God without the law," without any law, without any rule book, "has been manifested, being witnessed by this rule book and the prophets." Now, "And for all of sin come short of the glory of God," in other words, no flesh shall be justified. And as I've been preaching on the past couple weeks, most people have a religion of the flesh. And the more that they can work the people up into an emotion, the holier the people feel that they become. The closer to God they think that they become. And that's so far from the truth. And when people get into an emotional state like that, without
a true revelation, they're further off than they would have been had they looked in the mirror and seen the lost bound heathen that they were to begin with. Jesus said, the man that beat on his chest and said, Lord, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like this other guy over here. And then he said, the other guy said, Lord, forgive me, I'm a sinner. Jesus said, who walked away justified? The one that beat on his chest and look at me, Lord. What a great thing I've done. No, the guy who recognized his position and recognized that he couldn't do it and recognized there's only one who could do it and only one who could forgive, only one who could redeem, only one who could save. And that's the one that walked away justified. The just shall live by revelation. Without revelation, there is no righteousness. Without being right, there is no righteousness. See? For all sin to come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Justified freely. It's a free gift. See? We turn to chapter 4, Romans 4, and let's just read. What shall we then say? That Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found. For if Abraham were justified by works, by what he had done, he has wherewith to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for right wiseness. It wasn't his action, it was simply believing what God already said. Now, to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Therefore, brother, sister, if it's something that you can do, then God owes it to you to save you. Yet the Scripture tells us it's not him that runneth, nor him that willeth, nor him that runneth, but God shows mercy. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith, his revelation, is counted for righteousness. Your revelation is counted for your righteousness. Don't ever look in the mirror of the physical body, the physical mirror, but look into the mirror of the Word. What did He say about you? That's what you confess. You see, it's not your confession. It's just saying the same thing. Confession means to say the same thing. It comes from the Greek word homologio, the same word. Jesus said, if you confess me before man, I'll confess you before my Father. The word is homologio. And it means to say the same word. If you say the same thing that I'm saying, it's going to bear fruit. It's going to bring forth. It's going to manifest. See? But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for right wiseness. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. Without morals, without the deeds and the rule books and following the, you know, the pattern of the moral majority. See? Saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins, whose unbelief has been covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Blessed is he in whom the Lord will not impute sin. Why? His sin has been covered under the bleach blood of the Lamb. You never did do it. See? Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only? Those who have done the deeds of the law? Those who have, those sisters who have not cut their hair, those sisters who never wore a pair of pants, those brothers who don't smoke, drink, cuss, and chase, does it come under the circumcision only or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith, that revelation was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. It wasn't what Abraham did, it's what he believed. How was it then reckoned? when he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Well, not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness, the right wiseness of faith, of revelation, which he had yet being uncircumcised. Notice, while he was yet uncircumcised is when he received the sign from God. Now, and he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had not yet being circumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness, that right wiseness, might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith, that revelation of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. So here was a guy who was not circumcised. He was not walking in the rule book. He was not in the moral majority. He didn't even know the deeds. He didn't have any book written for him to say, taste not, touch not. But he had a revelation. He had a relationship. And he walked in that relationship. And God then gave him the sign of circumcision. In other words, God then said, the things that you do will be moral. The things that you do will follow the law. The things that you do will be in the law. Why? Because you have a living relationship. You have a life that's living out from you. That is reflecting my glory. That is reflecting me. And therefore, what is an attribute of me is written in the law. But man tries to look at the law. It's just like medicine. The AMA today, the one that's been approved, just like the, you know, I had the big churches, the ones that are approved, but they're so far from the truth, there's no life in them. Well, the AMA, you know, they are taught by the chemical companies. The chemical companies support the AMA. The chemical companies support all the teaching schools, the medical schools. They train them. So what do? They learn how to put a patch. They learn that if you've got a severe headache, we give you something that'll take away the headache. But they don't give you something that'll go right to the source and find out what's the root of the problem. Now, if I've got something that's wrong with me that's causing this headache, and you give me something just for the headache, it's not doing anything for the source of the problem. Therefore, the thing keeps coming back, keeps coming back, keeps coming back. It's like the woman Hulda Clark, she said, that 100% of all the cases of cancer she ever studied had a certain fluke. And she said, the problem is that fluke, like a little tapeworm type thing, amoeba looks, you know, like a little worm type thing, that fluke, when it lays its eggs, it gives off a certain chemical. And when those eggs are hatched, a certain chemical goes in, it poisons the body, it brings on cancer. 100% of the time. So what do? We treat them for cancer. How? With drugs. What do the drugs do? Well, if the drug can get in the body, poison the whole body, maybe we'll poison the flukes. But they don't know that they're looking for flukes to poison. So she says, well, you know, if we just take a fluke out of the body, out of the blood, and we analyze it, we find out what the frequency is, then we can just charge the body with a frequency that will nullify that fluke. We can kill the fluke. Now you killed the genesis of cancer. Now your body can take care of itself. No, that's too simple. No, actually, we don't make enough money that way. So we give them treatments. We take them in, we bombard them with radiation. We bombard them with chemicals. We keep them in the hospital. We rack up the bill. And as long as we're only taking care of the headache or the symptom, as long as we're just focusing on the symptom, the person's always going to be sick. So they might get finally free of the cancer in their body, or so-called, the dead cells. We'll cut them out. We'll remove them. Glory to God, we took care of the whole thing, but they didn't take out the factory. What's producing it? So what happens? A few months later, they die. Or maybe a few years later, they die. Or they come back with the same thing. It's the same thing with sin. Well, I've got morals. You know, I'm walking and I'm doing real good this way. And, well, you know, there's only one area of my life I've got a problem. You know, I've been counseling with some people for a long time on a certain problem. And they seem to have the same problem over and over and over again. Jesus said, if you've got a problem, you sweep up the house. Unless it's filled, that demon will come back with seven more. Now, the problem is that people keep coming to the altar, people wanting to get saved, people wanting to get cleaned out, and they get cleaned out, seven come back because the house hasn't been filled. Then they clean out those seven, and 49 come back because seven will bring seven. The one brings seven, the seven each will bring seven more. You see how it compounds. And after two or three admonitions, that person is totally a mess. I don't know what 49 times 7 is. I could probably get a calculator out and figure it out. In fact, I've got one here. Just a second. I'll let you know. Okay, so we're looking at 7 times, because each one's going to bring back 7 more. And the 49 will bring back 343. And those, when they're cleaned out, will bring back 2,401. And pretty soon, it's you're fiber upon fiber upon fiber, the whole thing's. And like Brother Branson, when word upon word upon word, he said it adds cell, fiber cell upon fiber cell of the word. When word is piled upon word, he said it takes hold of every fiber of your body. Well, what about pornography? When, like Dr. Dobson and Dr. Laura Schlesinger and people, you know, that are of repute, they study these things. And they've proven scientifically that, you know, people that are into those kind of things, looking at those kind of things, it grows a neuron in the brain. They're adding cell upon cell. What are they doing? They're filling their whole minds. And why do the homosexuals say, well, you know, we have a brain that's different than the normal person, therefore we were born with it? No, I challenge that. Those neurons were growing. And so it's not putting a patch on a symptom. It's getting into the righteousness of God, which comes by revelation. Revelation alone. Not works. Not feeling good. Not how wonderfully the church sings. Not how wonderful the orchestra plays. Not how soft and or how eloquent or how what a wonderful story, moving, touching, feeling story that the pastor tells. That has nothing to do with it. It's simply revelation. Righteousness comes by faith. See? Now, notice we go on. Cometh in the blessedness upon the circumcision only, those who have been, you know, into the morals, or upon the uncircumcision also. For say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. Okay, now let's go up to verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, through the moral book, through the code book, but through the right wiseness of, which the word of means out from, the right wiseness which comes out from revelation. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect, because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. They tried to have children for 90-some years. It didn't work. Or 75 years, whatever it was, it didn't work. He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, was strong in revelation, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone, that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Therefore, having been justified by revelation, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But the person who's walking by a moral code, he never has peace with God, because he misses one step and condemnation comes down his head. But the person who knows their place, who knows that he freely forgives, who knows that God's not looking at your ability to walk, he's looking at your innate given gift to believe. He's looking at, are you right? Are you thinking right? Is your mind lined up with the Word of God, with the promise of God? Not in whether you put on the right shoes, you put on the right clothes, you wore your hair right, you conducted your life in a certain manner, a certain moral code. You see? Therefore, having been justified by revelation, past tense, it was done on the cross. Whose revelation? The revelation of the Son of God. Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ. Already, past tense, I have been crucified with Christ. You were in him when he walked up that Golgotha, when he walked up that pathway. When he fell, each time he fell, you were on his mind. You were in his thoughts. He went there for you. Therefore, having been crucified with Christ, I live. Yet, it's not I living no longer. I'm crucified. And if I'm crucified, I make no provisions for the flesh. Therefore, if I'm crucified, I've been buried. That's what baptism represents. And if I have been buried, why would I make a provision for my flesh any longer? Having been crucified for Christ, yet I live. Yet it's not I living, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live, I live by the faith, by the revelation of the Son of God. A once for all sacrifice. He did it, not me. By whom also we have access. We have this access. We have this doorway. We have this ability to come into the presence of him by faith, by revelation, into this grace wherein we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory, the doxa, the very mind of God, the very assessment of God, the judgment, the opinion of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation, the testings also, knowing that these testings, these tribulations, work with patience, and patience, character, and character, hope. And hope, our earnest expectation, makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Now, let's jump up to verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the right wiseness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification for life. As in Adam all die, so in Christ are all made alive. By the action of one. One man was able to walk that moral code. One man was able to walk that law. One man was able to live that law because he is the law. And because of what he did, and my faith in what he did, it's complete for me. It's not a matter of if I fall 70 times 7, he says 70 times 7, he said the Lord will surely lift him up. Though a man fall, yet the Lord will lift him up, he'll not be utterly cast away. You see? Notice chapter 9 and verse 28. For he will finish the work and cut it short in right wiseness, because the short work will the Lord make upon the earth. And as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabbath had left us a seed, we had been as Sodoma and been made like unto Gomorrah. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles which followed not after right wiseness have attained to right wiseness? Even the right wiseness which is of revelation, out from revelation? But Isaiah, which followed after the law, but Israel, which followed after the law of right wiseness, hath not attained to the law of right wiseness. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by works, what they could do of the law. For they stumble at the stumbling stone, as it is written, Behold, I lay in Sion, a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. In other words, their approach, their focus was all wrong. It was me, Lord, me, Lord, me, Lord. Like the people, you know, the bride, the bride, the bride, the bride, the bride. I don't care about the bride. I'm not a lesbian. I care about the groom. If I'm a bride, I care about the groom. The groom, the groom, the groom, the groom. If I'm the bride, I don't go lesbian, you know, don't go, you know, the bride, the bride, the bride, bride. You see? Now, I don't mean to get off track here, but the fact of it is, in, he says, wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, they sought it not by revelation, they sought it in another way, they came in the window, not through the door. And they were cast out into utter darkness. Remember the parable. But as it were, they sought it by works of the law. And they stumble at the stumbling stone. Because the stumbling stone has always been revelation. The Word of God. Notice chapter 10. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, of God's right wiseness, and going about to establish their own right wiseness, have not submitted themselves unto the right wiseness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for right wiseness to everyone that believeth. It's incredible how many people will try to make mockery of William Branham on the internet. There's just tremendously amount of people trying to put Brother Branham down. Well, he did this, or he didn't do that, or, you know, some woman came up and he said this, and he should have said this, and, you know, he should have done this, and, you know, why should he should have done it your way? Well, Brother Branham couldn't have been out hunting because when that picture was taken of the cloud, because that day, you know, when if he was in the mountains that day hunting, he would have been against the law because it wasn't javelina hog hunting that time. It was 3 weeks later. Well, Brother Branham was out scouting that day. He wasn't actually doing the javelina hog hunting that day. And as Brother Vail would say, Brother Branham many times, he got his chronologies mixed up. So they say, Brother Branham said, well, you know, 1977 is going to be, it's all done by 77. Brother Branham said, I never said, don't you say that I said it's going to be done by 77. He said, based on 33, he said, the way things are going, he said, I can see that these things are going to be fulfilled. And five of them were by 77. Now read it the way he said it. You see? But they want to take these things and twist them and everything else. Look, they've done the same thing with me. They take words that you say and they say, you said this or you did this or you, you know, I say, I did not. There's no such thing. But the fact is, a Christian is at rest and peace with God. He's not looking to pull apart, pick apart, and everything else. He's at rest. He says, God, it's righteousness, it's right wiseness, it's revelation that we're concerned with. Oh, my goodness, you know, that guy was going too fast down the highway. Blah, 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 blah. He didn't look at me. He didn't shake my hand. Y'all remember that? You know, the song, you know, he didn't even shake my hand. Excuses, excuses, we hear them every day. People are always looking for excuses. That's the people, that's the moral majority, brother, sister. That's the people that are walking according to the flesh. That's the people that their religion is based on emotion. Their religion is based on the five senses, see, taste, feel, smell, hear. They smell the incense, oh, there's God. They see the statues, they see the stained glass, they see the pictures, oh, there's God. They hear the choir singing. The orchestra playing. Oh, there's God. And that's the only way that they can worship. They've got to have a music tape on all the time to feel good. Instead of listening to the Word of God. That's religion. That's religion of the flesh.
And it's so deceitful because the people never do come to the knowledge of God that way. See, and they never do get born again. Or they get born again of a corruptible seed over and over and over again. Now notice verse 7. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is, to bring up Christ from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith, the word of revelation which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's why Brother Bannon said, if you do not believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, he said, you're lost. Now, how could God raise himself from the dead? How could a dead man raise himself? You see, you've got to have one that's God and one that isn't God. Because the one that isn't God is the one who died. And the one who is God could raise that dead one from the grave. See? For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew or the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all men that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Oh boy. And how shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? Oh my. And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Now, Martin Luther put it this way. He said, what if the guy who's not called? Because Paul sums up the whole thing with this. If the man's not called, how can he preach? Because what he's preaching in error. Then those that hear are hearing in error. Then those who are calling upon a false god. It all comes down to revelation. Revelation and vindication of that revelation. See? Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 14. But be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath right wiseness with unright wiseness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And as Brother Branham laid it out, he said, what fellowship does he that believes all the word have with him that believes only part of the word? You can't have fellowship with someone who doesn't believe. What are you going to talk about? A female Holy Ghost? We find in Galatians chapter 2, verse 21. Paul said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. There it is. If righteousness can come, if righteousness can come by anything that you've done according to the moral book, the book of deeds, he died in vain. You don't need him. All you need is the book. Philippians 3 and verse 9. A few scriptures don't close. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith, through the revelation of Christ, the right wiseness, which is of God, by faith, by revelation. It comes only one way, brother, sister, by revelation. It's not what a great Christian scholar you are. It's not what a great Christian prayer warrior you are. It's not even by what a great walk you've got. It comes by simply one thing. Has it been revealed to you or not? Is it revealed to you? These churches that have their programs get everybody into the mood that kind of gets you worked up into emotion like they do at the ball game. They're leading the people down a wrong path because they're leading the people who have not been born again to think that they're okay. To think because I believe God sent the prophet, I'm all right. And yet God himself has come in this hour. And what do? They spurn it. They call it puke. They call it garbage. My, my, how hot it's going to be for them. We find in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul tells us here, I charge you, therefore, before God, in the presence of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. But they don't want the doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, the people having itching ears, they'll heap to themselves teachers who will scratch their ear. They'll tell them what they want to hear. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned unto fables. Well, bless God, I hunted with the prophet. I did this with the prophet. And that's all they've got, stories. Mama, tell me a story. Tell me a bedtime story. Daddy, can you tell me a story? And whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand the doctrine, the message? To him that's weaned from the breast, that's drawn from the milk, that's grown up. For unto them it shall be rule upon rule, rule upon rule. Here a little, there a little, until they all fall backwards, are snared, taken, and broken. But I charge thee, in the presence of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, He who is the judge, and He shall judge the quick, the living, and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. And Brother Branham said, this is his ministry, this was his calling. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith, the revelation. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord of the righteous judge shall give me at that day, and not unto me only, but all them also that love his appearing. There's a crowning of righteousness, brother, sister, that comes because of the faith. A crowning at the time of the appearing. We find in Hebrews chapter 5. Verse 13. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of right wiseness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. That's the seventh age. Even those who by reason of use have had their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. How about chapter 11, verse 7? By faith, by revelation, Noah, being warned of God of the things not yet seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the right wiseness, which is by, out from, faith, revelation. Again, heirs by revelation. Heirs of right wiseness by revelation. Finally, in closing, we turn to 1 John chapter 2. First John chapter 2 and verse 29. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Let me say it again. If you know that he is rightly wise, you know that everyone that doeth that which is rightly wise is born of him. Chapter 3 verse 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth right wiseness is right, or is rightly wise, even as he is rightly wise. And verse 10. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not right wiseness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Whosoever does not do that which is right is not of God. It comes down to revelation, brother, sister. And if the revelation tells you what to do, you do it.
It's not a code book that you're following, X, Y, Z. Simply, there's a life, but the life means nothing outside of the right wiseness, the revelation. Because the life, Satan can produce, or not produce, but he can copy, imitate anything, any of the nine spiritual gifts, anything, any gift that God's given us, Satan. Because what? He makes himself into an angel of light. He transforms himself into an angel of light. He can duplicate. Moses came forth, had certain miracles. What did Pharaoh's magicians do? They imitated. They did the same thing. Moses produced lice. They produced lice. The problem is they produced so many. And Brother Brown said, the thing of it is, they could produce it, but they couldn't get rid of it. Moses produced frogs. They produced frogs. They couldn't get rid of it. A man is tinkering today with things that he'll not get rid of. But the fact is, God is here. No man can see him in the flesh. No man knows him after the flesh any longer. It's simply by right wiseness, the righteousness, the rightly wise. I remember years ago I asked Elizabeth, I said, why do you dress the way you do? She said, because it's the right thing to do. Not because she feels like it. Not because it gives her an emotional good feeling, but simply because it's the right thing to do. And that's righteousness. We do it because it's right. Not because it's a book of morals, but simply you do that which is right. That's why Paul said, they that haven't even been circumcised, they that have not been told the moral code, and yet they're doing the moral code. Why? Because there's a revelation in their heart. And they're marching to Zion. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank you for your word. It is life to us. We thank you that you've shown us these last few weeks, looking at the law, looking at the flesh versus the spirit, the pneuma, looking at the body of this death, and how there's religion, which is of the five senses outward, the five senses inward. There's religion that can motivate people through the smell, through the sight, through the voice, their singing, through their ears, the hearing of the songs and psalms and the choirs and all these things. And then there's the emotional side, the inner man. There's not the inner man, but the five inner senses that are part of that flesh. The emotion and the memory and the affection. And so they listen to moving, compelling stories, the stories that would cause people to weep. And they think, oh, I feel so good. And yet they go out with the same life. But Father, we have a greater than that. For you're not looking upon even our life. You're looking upon your life. Hallelujah. Whether your life is in us. And so, Lord, we believe that it's your word. And it's the revelation of that word, the vindicated revelation. And knowing that it has been vindicated because you yourself came down and proved it, that it's not by might, or it's not by him that runneth or him that willeth even, not by our will, but simply by God, by you, Lord, that showeth mercy. What man by thinking about it could add one cubit to his stature? We can't. Yet, Lord, simply by looking unto you, the author and finisher of our faith, it brings perfect peace. Whose mind, our mind, is stayed on thee. And so, Father, we commit all these thoughts and scriptures, and we just ask that you would move upon us, Lord. May they just permeate through our being and reach into the inner soul to make alive that seed gene that was in you before the foundations of the world. But we ask it humbly in Jesus' name. Amen. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is.
unto him again.